Welcome, everyone, to this afternoon's Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, November 4th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. I actually just had to get upgrades for Zoom right before the meeting. But if you're calling through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon and to virtually raise or lower your hands. And if you'd like to unmute yourself, click on the speaker icon. That will do the trick. I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. And when you do need to make some comments, if you can virtually raise your hands or put a message in the chat for me so that we know that somebody's trying to make comments, that will help because then we can have one speaker at a time. We do have a few presenters today. So I would request for them to please describe if you're sharing any presentations for the members who are blind or have low vision. We also have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. So I would request for everyone who makes comments, please state your name before you start making your comments. Because it helps them in doing their job well. It also helps people who are on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. And afterwards, when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who were the speakers at the time. We would request people, everyone, to please describe yourselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair, and I'm wearing a black and yellow colored and white colored top. For members of the public, we do have that section later on in the meeting. I would ask any members of the public if you would like to make comments, either send me a chat message so that we can put your name on the list. Or when we begin the section, please try to raise your hands virtually so that we can take the members of the public in the order that we receive their hands. Each member of the public will have 2 minutes to make their comments because we want to ensure that if any members of the pub, if we have a few members, everyone gets an opportunity to make their comments. Chair Sheehan, at this point, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then go to the roll call of the committee members.
Perfect. Thank you, Anu.
Okay, so before I start reading the agenda, I would like to share my screen. And once oh, perhaps not. Just like I said, I had Okay. Seems like Dr. Posner, you have your hand raised.
Yes, I thought I would mention to you if the people go to the chat box, there is a new thing called artificial intelligence, and it's described as it provides a generated meeting summary to make the meeting more effective and efficient. And so if someone comes in late, they may want to click on that. It's just to tell them about one of the new things that exist on the new Zoom update. And they'll see that if the on the participants list and it's RB. And if they go to chat, there's an explanation of what that is. And for people that often do not make it at the beginning of our meetings, it's a useful tool that you might want to mention to them. But your agenda is up, so it's your turn to talk.
Well, thank you for sharing that because, I just got the updates right before the meeting, so that's good information to share. So thank you. All right. So we would go through the roll call of the committee members after I finish reading the agenda. And after that, the AAC chair and the committee will go through the motion of approving today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. We should be I haven't seen all the guest speakers. However, we should have Paul Smetberg to discuss DMV moves. Mr. Smetberg is the task force co-chair. He is Metro's board vice chair, principal director from Virginia.
I'm here on you.
Oh, great, Mr. Smetberg. Good to see you. Thank you. And Chair Sheehan, as you know, that there is going to be an amendment in the agenda. The Ms. Impastato is not able to make it today due to conflicts. So we will not be able to discuss that topic. However, we will have an introduction from a new team member, Andrea Crabb. She is the Senior Vice President of Facilities. So we will just do a meet and greet with Ms. Crabb and get to know her a little bit. We very recently got two new members appointed from the board. So we will welcome them, introduce them to the committee, and do a brief introduction of the committee to the new members. Doris Ray and Debbie Fisher will share a report that was presented by them to the COG. So they will have a report on that. We will go through the public comments, and then we will have Bus and Rail Subcommittee report, followed by Metro Access Subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Going to the roll call of the committee members, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Donnie Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. I just want to state for the record that Debbie had informed she may not be able to attend today's meeting. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Sarah Rod.
I'm here.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Ms. Rush is connected on the meeting with us. Paul Samuelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Sheehan, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Very good.
And you
I
have
will.
The quorum.
Oh, and very good. You anticipated my next question. We do have a quorum that helps me with the next part of the meeting. Let's see. So you've all heard the agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda?
I move the agenda as amended.
Very good. Any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Going next to the minutes for this meeting. You've had a chance to look at the minutes for this meeting. Any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No, I say we move the minutes as is.
Very good. Do I have any objections? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. Board report.
I say, this is Paul Silverfoot again. I say we move and make any amendments as needed based on tonight's information from tonight's meeting as needed.
Very good. Thank you. Any objections to any additions or corrections to the board report? If none, board report will be accepted as written.
Patrick,
thank you very much. Yes.
You went too quickly on the agenda, but I wanted to point out to you that Don Drummer is also at the meeting along with Paul Smedberg, and so he might like to speak to the group about things that are going on in Prince George's County.
Excellent. Thank you.
Transportation.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you. I would very much appreciate that, since Prince George's County has been something we've talked about. That's excellent. Thank you, Phil. I didn't get a chance to go through the participants, so very good. We will certainly do that. So next on the agenda is Paul Smedberg. Thank you, sir, so much for coming. DMV moves. I've done my best over the last few months to describe what it's all about, but being a co-chair of the task force and very involved in what's going on with DMV moves, I really appreciate the fact that you are here and can speak to what DMV moves is all about, where it's going, and what your impressions are, where we are in the process. So the floor is yours, sir.
Great. Nice hearing your voice, Patrick, and everyone. Nice being with you all again. Anu, you as well. So DMV moves. I'm not sure if where we are, or you know, if you've heard anything about it, but let me sort of start from the beginning. As you know, we had a very challenging budget season this last go around. You know, dealing with you know, the outcome of the pandemic, but also I think it highlighted the fact that the financial model underlying WMATA's finances just is not sustainable in the future. We've known this for some time now. So Randy Clark, myself, Clark Mercer, who is the new executive director of the Council on Governments, COG, as you might know them by, and their current chair, DC council member Charles Allen, got together, and we decided that we would do this joint project where we would begin a discussion, about how we're going to have a dedicated source of funding, you know, for Metro. We are the only major system in the country, if not the world, that doesn't have some sort of dedicated funding. In addition to an operational challenge we have in terms of our finances, we also have a capital challenge coming down the pike. So, you know, we have a real need to get something moving. And as you all know, in this area, we have three of our partners are the three states, Maryland, Virginia, and the district, all of which, all three have very different political landscapes right now and different challenges politically. So we know this is something that is going to take time. So everyone, the two boards, the Metro Board and the COG Board, agreed to put this group together. So now we are, you know, a group working. It's a large group. It's key players from our three main funding jurisdictions. So we have the chief administrative officers. We have the important and influential legislators, both at the local and the state level. And we have a few other, interested parties around the main coordinating group or coordinating council. But what's key to this effort is we have two working groups. We have a community group and we have a business-related group. I'm sorry, the business and the community group are one and the same. And then there's the administrative group, which is basically the chief operating officers at the local and state level. And they have been tasked with various issues and questions to have to, to address, all with the goal in mind of ultimately, ideally, would be a, some sort of regional solution that all three jurisdictions could agree to. But I think the political reality is we may end up with potentially three different kinds of funding models, albeit a dedicated source, but it could be coming to us in different ways. So everyone is really, really hard at work. To give you an example of the people, sitting around the table, we have the chair of the Arlington County Board, Fairfax County Board, Loudoun County Board. We have the mayor of the District of Columbia, the chief operating or the chief administrator, Kevin Donahue, the CFO of the District of Columbia. We have Joe McAndrew, who is not only on the Metro Board, but he's the deputy secretary for transportation in Maryland. We have the county, Montgomery County executive. And then we also had Ms. Alsobrooks, but she's obviously running for Senate. So we do have designees from Prince George's County represented as well. And there are other people involved. And then again, a lot of the elected leaders or administrative leaders and the Department of Transportation directors from the three jurisdictions. So work is moving ahead. We have hired two consultants that are advising us, working through various models, working through various sources of potential funding, and all those groups are doing what they have to do there. Politically, we're keeping everyone up to date, as best we can. What's been extremely encouraging, just given the list of people that I mentioned, they're all showing up at these meetings, which is really encouraging. So they are dedicating hours, when we have these meetings to this effort, and they are truly engaged and are really asking good questions, and things are really coming into focus. We have to be realistic, though. Virginia overall is in a pretty good spot financially. It's a state, it's a financial state. The district, albeit the underlying budget situation, the district is okay, but they are, challenged. They're going to have some really, really tough decisions to make in the next couple of years because they are facing down a big deficit. And we know that the state of Maryland, particularly in the transportation area, has some serious challenges ahead of it statewide, and is going to have to make some really difficult choices, and has made difficult choices. And Mr. Drummer will be able to go into more detail on that. So it's a difficult time. Ideally, what we're shooting for is to have some sort of an outline. Not sure what it's going to look like exactly quite yet, but some sort of an outline of a proposal that the elected leaders from the three jurisdictions could then take and use as the basis for a legislation. And then we know politically, as it was with dedicated funding, it took almost 2 years to get that agreement in place. So I assume with something like this, given all the other challenges, given all the other political considerations, that this too is going to take probably at least a couple of years for us to get through this. But we are encouraged, we are enthused. I think people do realize something has to be done. We just cannot continue to do this year after year after year. It is just not, sustainable. As you all know, we got through last year, but we have an equal challenge this year, if not even a greater challenge. And then we're bumping up against a capital funding challenge as well, where our debt servicing is everything is going to pretty much take up everything we need. So we need to fix the capital side as well. So that's a pretty high level overview. We have myself, Mr. Allen, Randy Clark, Clark Mercer, and the consultants. We have regular meetings that we keep each other up to date, and they mainly keep Charles and I up to date on what's on what's happening, and we talk about next steps. So we've been really encouraged. We've engaged the Metro Board as best we can at this point, keeping them up to date, and I know Clark and Charles Allen are doing it on their side with COG. So we have a really good partner. It seems like Randy and Clark are really working well together, which is important. And then the consultants as well. So a lot of work ahead, but it is very encouraging. Hopefully we can get to something. I think also one interesting byproduct of this is almost immediately after our first meeting, I think people also realized that there's potentially areas of consolidation for the region where we could all help each other out. For instance, the bus system. We're going through better bus right now. People are realizing, hey, why don't we work as a region to purchase buses, to maintain buses, buy parts, training, putting up bus stops, signage. There's so much that we could do that's sort of low-hanging fruit that would really help save the jurisdiction's money. It would help the customer experience. Instead of, in Virginia, we have several local robust bus systems. Wouldn't it be great if everyone was sort of using very similar, if not the same exact signage and wording and everything? So it would really be good. So that's sort of a byproduct of some of the discussions we had. So definitely more to come on that, but potentially in addition to hopefully solving the funding issue, we could also take some pretty steps, big steps forward in terms of coordination for the region. So Patrick, I know it's sort of a lot there to take in, but I hope I summarized it well enough. And there's definitely more to come. We're in sort of a crunch time now, the latter part of this calendar year, beginning next year. And we'll be engaged in a an education slash slash lobbying effort, I think, because as we know, the Maryland and Virginia, their legislative sessions will be starting in January, and then the district has already started their legislative session. So anyway, that's where we are. I hope that was helpful. And happy to answer any questions that I can at this stage. Oh, Patrick, and if I could, one other thing I want to add on the Virginia side, I talked to Senator Adam Eban, knowing we may have some additional challenges on the Virginia side politically, just because of the landscape. So we put together what we call the SJ28 meeting or committee. And the SJ28 just symbolizes the bill number. But it's a committee that's looking at efficiencies and possible dedicated streams of funding for Metro and transit in general in the state of Virginia. So they would be complementary efforts. And we're going to be doing more integration of these two efforts as it relates to DMV moves. Patrick? Hello?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. If you would unmute
Oh,
yourself.
hi, New.
He's on mute, so I. Okay, while we wait for Chair Sheehan, if any other members of the committee have any questions for Mr. Smetberg, please do unmute yourself.
Anu, I have a I don't see my hand raising opportunity on the screen, so may I have the question without the hand raised?
Sure, go ahead, Steve, and then we'll take a question from Thomas and going forward. So go ahead, Steve.
Sure. Thank you, Thomas. I'm sorry if I superseded you on this. Hey, Paul, hi.
Hey, how are you?
You, okay, good, good.
I
Thank
saw
you.
you earlier, but now your video is gone.
Yeah, what could I say? You mentioned the economies of scale with respect to all the different bus networks that we have in the three municipalities. And another aspect I'm wondering is the capital acquisition of buses. Because as we know in Virginia, we see a lot more dash buses, mini buses, and in Maryland we see smaller buses running the routes around Bethesda and other localities. Well, those might be economically employed, for example, in DC on lower volume routes or perhaps on weekends. And I'm wondering if that's part of the DM, the considerations that are being given.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next would be Thomas. Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Thomas. I have two questions. I do agree that we should have a standard funding like every other place has it. But my question is this: do that mean that y'all thinking about going up on the fare for metro access? And also, do that mean instead of us having 24-hour service that we have in some places, that means they're going to be cutting down the service time that we have to ride on metro access?
And Thomas, the two are not linked. I think talking about efficiencies and look what we did with the District of Columbia on I think it's 13 or 14 of their certain routes throughout the city are now basically 24/7, not quite, but almost essentially. And so, if anything, service, and on the bus side could expand. There really hasn't been much talk about the paratransit side, because I think, metro access is it. But it really honestly hasn't come up. And I don't think that, there hasn't been any talk about, fares or anything like that. As you know, we moved to a flat fare, for metro transit cap. But there really hasn't been much discussion at all about paratransit.
Paul, can I pop in? This is Phil Posner.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Oh, really good.
Nice seeing you.
And just to remind you that anything you do with the bus routes, expand them or shorten them, is going to affect metro access. Because metro access can only go where there is mass transit, bus, and rail.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's
I think,
definitely.
Phil, I know that, but just the whole work with the better bus, if anything, I think bus service is going to be, expanded. It'll be more efficient and riding on routes and everything, but I very few the routes are going to be disrupted, it looks like. I mean there will be some changes, but it's not going
Terrific.
to be a
And
wholesale drastic change of where buses do or don't go.
no, that's terrific. And taking your point about all the people on the committee, remind everybody on the committee to vote tomorrow. Miss Alsobrook is running for the Senate, and basically she not only could help with Prince George County, but she can help with federal funds if she gets elected. And the same thing for the Virginia people.
their senators and their House members are up for election. So you mentioned, and just to remind everybody in on the committee, don't complain, vote. And one of my other pets is I read that the circulator is one of the things that is being discontinued. And that used to be one of my favorite ways to get around the district. Thank you. I've spoken too much.
Thank you,
Well,
Doc.
as you, I don't know if you've read Phil, Metro has, essentially taken over, the circulator business and incorporating it, into WMATA. It'll look different. It'll be different, obviously, but there are certain routes on there that are going to be incorporated into the Better Bus, network.
Thank you. That's good to hear. For me and all the tourists that used to use it.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Posner. Next is Tino, followed by Sandy Newsill, and then our new member, Sarah Rott. So, Tino, please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Mr.
Hey,
Frederick.
Tina, how are you?
Okay.
Nice seeing you.
Bill brought up scary phenomenon of our election that's coming up. And we've kind of survived on the federal funding that was provided to help bail people out, and as well the transportation system around the country through the federal funds that will be disappearing in a matter of months. We'll find out in the next several days what kind of president and secretary of transportation we had. We've been lucky thus far to have Peter Buttigieg. And in past years, regardless of which party took the White House, we were also fortunate in having crossover secretaries of transportation. You remember President Obama appointed Ray LaHood, fairly good secretary. And Norm Mineta, who was named by George W. Bush. He was a great opponent for transit and other things, but transit in particular. In fact, as you know, there was a school of transit named after him in California. I don't know. I'm only hoping that we have the kind of leadership that'll provide federal funds. Federal funds are supplying us for the next few months. That'll dry up depending on who takes over the White House. So as Pete's as F Phil said, let's everybody do their responsibilities in terms of voting and vote if you haven't done it already. This is a scary time coming up. I hope that we end up with someone like Ray LaHood if one party gets in, or Norm Mineta if another party gets in. But I'm crossing my fingers. Nice talking to you, Paul.
All right. Nice seeing you, Tina.
I know.
Yes, Chair. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to congratulate you on running a great meeting so far. Thank you so much. I love technology when it comes up and it's brand new. Other questions?
Yes, so we have Sandy, Sarah, and then Philip Weintraub. So, Sandy,
Very
go
good.
ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy Newsell. Mr. Smedford, do you have any more insights about PG County? Patrick mentioned that also Brooks is running, for a senator or whatever. But the bus in PG County, coordinating with WMATA buses in PG County and the DMV moves picture on that. Do you have any insights you can share with us?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, WMATA is going through an exercise right now called Better Bus. So it's a whole revisioning of the, and revamping, if you will, of the bus system. And I believe, and Mr. Drummer might be able to go into a little more detail, but I believe the expansion of bus service in Prince George's County will be much greater than it has been in the past.
And if I could jump in, Mr. Drummer, first of all, I wanted to thank you for coming to the meeting. I was not aware that you were part of the participants list. I hadn't checked it out. So after Paul's done, if you would like to update us on Prince George's County, I've got some questions. And I think a couple of us would.
My pleasure.
Yes, that'd be great. If we could jump.
Yeah. And Patrick, I think, you know, during the Better Bus, you know, it, and there's one example of, mm-hmm. you know, helping, you know, and coordinating with one of our funding jurisdictions and, you know, creating better service for folks and opportunities for folks, you know, so it's a sort of a byproduct of Better Bus and the, you know, the DMV Moves effort. So, yeah.
And Sandy, if I could add to Paul's comments, Metro and Better Bus, or Metro and the bus, have worked hand in hand in this Better Bus network. And what they're doing is optimizing the capabilities of both systems.
Yeah.
So at in-state, as Paul stated very eloquently, we'll have a better outcome with both systems in place.
Very good. And a couple more, Mr. Drummer, I got a couple of calls, a couple of questions for you also. Wanted to get the other people that already had their hands raised to ask their questions on DMV Moves first, though.
Chair, this is Anu. So next is Sarah. Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to circle back to the earlier question about Metro Access and other paratransit systems in the area. Because obviously there are other paratransit systems in the localities in Alexandria and Arlington and Fairfax, and I'm sure places in Maryland, although I'm less familiar. And I just wanted to check. So are you saying that those are not being discussed at the moment? They're sort of not in play, or they're just, it's set for some later discussion? Thanks.
Yeah, it's probably set for some later discussion, Sarah. But right now, you know, because Metro Access is so dominant in the major player, and, you know, Christian and his team have such, you know, run it so well. You know, there really hasn't honestly been much discussion about it. It's really been, you know, focused on the bus, because I think people, you know, have, you know, particularly during the pandemic, we realized how important the bus system is to the region, and people, you know, people who rely on the bus for, you know, their daily lives and opportunities for themselves and their kids. And, you know, so it's really, you know, it's really been a main focus right now. And it's also helpful, you know, a lot of people take the bus to get to Metro Rail. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So integrating the two systems is really important. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Philip, go ahead.
I also want to touch up on the questions of like the funds drying up, the election coming up, but also you need to, not only you're not sure what kind of president we're going to get, but also we need to think about what kind of Congress we're going to wind up with as well. Because I'm also concerned, like, having the president and the White House and Congress in the hands of opposite parties can also bring things to gridlock as well. So I'm just also concerned, if that happens, what do we do? So, and of course, I hope everyone's doing their due diligence of been last month of getting out the vote, whether it's like going into swing states and knock on doors or making phone calls, and as well as cast your own ballot as well, and be sure it's your choice on who you vote for, not anyone else's, because we want to get this good leadership and the Congress that's going to work with them.
words.
Anu, yep, Anu. Any other? Do we have any other hands up?
Okay, Chair Sheehan, that concludes the questions from the committee members.
Good, very good. How are we doing on time? I'm trying to stay.
It is 10 after 6 at this point.
Okay, good. Okay.
I just want to say, Patrick, thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you taking all the questions and talking
Yeah, no
to
worries.
individuals and I will be at the next computer community partners advisory group meeting. There's a lot going on with the different scenarios and now the working group. So you're right, we'll be busy over the next 3 or 4 months.
And also, I want to take this opportunity to thank the team. I know the Metro team was really appreciative of the work, with the new rail cars that you guys have done. So,
Perfect.
yeah,
Yeah.
thank you
Oh,
for that too.
excellent. Yeah.
Hello.
And nice to see some familiar faces.
Great. Thank
Hello.
you.
And ask Don Drummer real tough questions.
Okay,
Can
yeah, we
y'all hear
will.
me?
Well, hang
Can
on.
y'all hear me?
Yes.
Anu.
Can you please identify yourself? Can
you all hear me?
We can, and we don't
Okay.
see any members of the public during the public comment section. Thank you.
Okay, so we have to go to from the public.
Yes,
Yeah.
please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So Don, this is Pat Sheehan. Again, thank you, Anu. Like to ask you a couple of questions concerning well, I guess you probably heard me at the last board meeting, but just for the committee's sake, we looked at a transit vision plan that was put out by Prince George's County, and I had a couple of questions. One, I didn't know what the dates were when that plan was active, either 2018 and 2019 through 2024. And secondly, would love to have someone from Prince George's County come to our bus rail meeting either in November or December to go over the that transit vision plan. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but I just think, it would be it's very important for us to find out where we are in Prince George's County and what progress is being made. Can you talk to that?
I'll speak to it briefly.
Okay.
So first, a little background before I get started. Thank you very much, Pat, for re-engaging me in the AAC process. I had never been to a meeting, and thank you for this opportunity to see how you all operate, because I've always been impressed with your reports and what you all do on a day-to-day basis. So thanks again for that. As most of you know, I've been on the board for about 3.5 years as a principal, and I've had the honor, at the request of Paul Smedberg during his tenure as our chair, to serve as the chair of the Safety and Operations Committee. So my hands were certainly full there, and that's where I've immersed myself. But I have paid attention to accessibility issues, and I'm sensitive. So Pat, you've re-engaged me in that process and triggered my desire to participate in this meeting and the meeting on the 12th and the following meeting. So I will be in the next three meetings to be sure I understand and get an appreciation for where we are. Over the past 6 months, I have heard feedback with regard to transit gaps in Prince George's County and some metro access challenges. I didn't put my foot in it, but at this point I will. And Pat, because of the fact that you raised it, it causes me to get back engaged with the staff in Prince George's County. There are several folks I can deal with, but I'm targeting those who are what I would call action agents who can make things happen. And I'm in the middle of that process as we speak, and my goal is to ensure that there's a representative, or I hope there's a representative at your 12 November meeting that's coming up. So I'll work through that and see how much progress I can make there with no guarantees.
Right, I understand that. Yes, we've been in touch with Michael Johnson over there with
Okay.
DP WT Department of
Yes.
Public Works, and so he's aware of our phone calls and what we were basically interested in is going through the vision transit vision plan. They had certain timelines, they had certain dates, things they were going to accomplish, and we'd just like to see where we are with respect to that plan and how we can move that forward.
Absolutely. As you would imagine, during my tenure there, I've been engaged and received several briefings on plans over time, but never the transit vision plan that you spoke of. And I have not read it, so I will engage and find out
Beautiful. Okay.
who's
Thank
really
you.
behind it. And one of my goals now, I like to start at the macro level and then work my way down to details, because oftentimes we solve problems by working each's issues rather than seeing the big picture, how it fits, and then work our way into some systemic way of delivering solutions. So one, when I walk away from this meeting or the next three meetings, I want to find out what the real AAC concerns are. And then from a Prince George's County perspective, I'm doing a reset personal to say, what are the requirements for transit in the county? What are our capabilities? What are our plans that are programmed and funded? And what are the gaps? And then who are the action agents that are making things happen? And are we satisfied? And of course, partners like the AAC and others can help us ensure maintain focus. So that's how I'm approaching this. And you'll see that engagement over the next two or three meetings that I'll be participating in.
Excellent. Well, I can't ask for any better report than that, sir. This is just great. I really appreciate your willingness to work with us, finding out the answers. Those are the kinds of answers that we want so that we can help, look at a plan, see what the plan is going to be, what the timelines will be, ensure as much accessibility over time, and really try to work that also into the DMV moves regional plan. So this is excellent news for us. Let's see, a couple of questions from anyone on the committee for Mr. Drummer.
And I go by Don, please.
Don, okay, very good, sir. Well,
Chair, okay. Philip, go ahead. Philip Weintraub.
I was running. So also, you need to also know, understand that. Like, when you're going to get all the signs that have not yet been up, the electronic signs have not been upgraded because there's a lot. I see still see a few stations and like that still haven't been upgraded with those signs. Do you know when that's going to happen?
Phil, I don't, but I'm certainly recording any question that you have that I don't have visibility on. I have a lot of homework to do in the accessibility area.
Very good. Anu, are there any additional questions for Don? Well, Don, I
Steve,
think you
just
and what's
Chair,
that?
Steve Caffin just raised his hand.
Go
Steve.
ahead, Steve. We'll take that as the last question for Don. Don, I really appreciate it. I want to say thank you for first coming and being willing to participate with us on this and getting us that level of information, which is what we've been asking for. That's great. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Don. Thank you. I'm just wondering if your plan has taken into account the changes that Better Bus will be instituting so that the plan that you currently have perhaps has been updated or revised or and if not, how will your team get that to the point where it's reliable, let's say to you even, if you know what I mean?
So I'm not quite sure I followed, and I want to be sure we're clear. As a board, I don't have a plan. Prince George's County has a plan, perhaps.
I mean Prince George's County. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Yeah,
And
and
Better Bus, the Better Bus plan
oh,
is an
okay.
outgrowth that occurred after the Prince George's plan.
Yes,
And
now that's.
to be sure that the Prince George's plan is current enough to be reliable and determine what continues to be needed. I'm wondering if there has been an update done.
Yes, so I can provide some clarity there. So the Better Bus Plan is a WMATA-driven plan with coordination in all of the jurisdictions because we're multi-jurisdictional. And all of the work that's been done there ensures that we're optimizing capabilities. And in this case, the first go-round, it's cost neutral in the Better Bus Plan. But we do have a visionary portion of that plan that says if we were not resource constrained, what would it look like? That's also going to be on paper that can be seen, understood, but more importantly, what can we execute? And the plan is to execute in 2025, hopefully in the summer of 2025, a cost neutral approach of optimizing what we have without spending additional money, if that makes any sense to you. So, but there is a lot of background coordination that is taking place before any changes are made.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Very good. Don, thank you so much for coming, and we look forward to attendance of the appropriate people at the next couple of meetings and your attendance. I really appreciate your interest in what we're trying to do and moving it forward so we have a better system within Prince George's County. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thank you.
Great. Very good. Let's see, Anu, I understand that Teresa Empastado was not able to join us this month. If we could, ask her to come next month, December or January, if her time is free, that would be great. Sure. So we extend that invitation to her. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. Good.
Absolutely. And Chair Sheehan, Ms. Rush just raised her hand. So Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Yes, Denise.
Was Ms. Teresa going to update us on the restroom availability for the public? With her report? No.
Go ahead, Danu.
Yes, so Ms. Rush, Teresa Empastado was going to give us an update about the station situation, about the restrooms. Excuse me. However, due to her conflict of schedule, she was unable to make it to this meeting today. However, as Chair Sheehan recommended to extend the invitation to a future meeting, we will surely work on that and see when her schedule permits her to attend the next meeting.
Great. Thank you, Anu. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's good. That's something, as you're aware, and I think the committee is aware, that we've been looking for a report on that. So we'd appreciate that. Good. Next up, we have Angela Crabb, who is...
Andrea Crabb, she is the Senior Vice President of Facilities. Yes.
Of Facilities. Angela, welcome, and let us know what your scope of your functions are, and we're happy to have you here tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Chair Sheehan, I'm trying to make sure that Ms. Crabb is connected.
Oh, so okay.
Give me one moment, please.
All right. I certainly can't fault anyone for losing a connection, since I hit a button that took me right out of Zoom.
I'm not seeing Ms. Crabb connected on this meeting.
Okay. When I went through the list of attendees, I didn't see her.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, if we...
Perhaps we can move on with the next agenda item, and if she's able to join afterwards, we can go back. go back to that topic.
Very good. Okay. So we have two new members, and thank you so much for your hard work on this, Anu. All the advertising that was done this past year. We were down two members in Virginia, and we're very fortunate to get Sarah Rod and Sue Bowmaster, who are just joining us and representing us from Virginia. A hearty welcome from me to both of you. I really appreciate the fact that you're stepping up, and certainly in this time where we are working with different areas of interest, particularly in the DMV moves area, that's going to try to consolidate transportation regionally between Virginia, DC, and Maryland. Having strong representation from Virginia is absolutely critical. So welcome to both of you. Sarah, I guess if you'd like to start off and just Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then Sue.
Sure.
You and I go back a ways, so I'd love to hear what you have to say also, and then we'll just introduce ourselves to you.
Sure. So, yes, my name is Sarah Rod. And as I explained, it's a slightly strange pronunciation of the spelling, but I never take any offense, no matter how you pronounce it. I am a middle-aged female with blonde hair and blue eyes. I am legally blind. And I also have two young adult children, both of whom are college students in the District of Columbia, who are both ambulatory wheelchair users and make great use of the bus and rail system. I make some use of the bus and rail system. I can do fixed points where that I am familiar with, but otherwise have difficulty and usually spend more time on Metro Access. Anyway, I'm excited to be here and add what I can. I have lived in and out of the DC area my entire life. I've lived in Maryland, Virginia, the district, various locations, and all of the above. And just happy that I can maybe help give back. I'm a retired federal employee, so I know how important the Metro system is to all of us in getting our work done, our jobs done, our lives, that sort of thing. So glad to be here.
Thank you, Sarah. Being a recent retired federal employee, that's a good feeling. And there's an awful lot going on, particularly in the area of signage right now. And so individuals with low vision are going to be really important as far as ensuring that I don't have enough vision to make that valuable for me, but making sure that we've got good signage that low vision individuals can detect is great. So
That's great.
appreciate
Oh,
that.
one more detail. I live in the city of Alexandria at the moment, so that's my home.
Very good. Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Thanks.
And Subo Master,
Yes, I
it's
am
good to
Servo
have you
Master.
here.
I
yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be here. It sounds like there's a lot going on, so it's kind of an exciting time to join the committee. I live in Annandale, Virginia. I am also a retired federal employee, worked for the Department of Labor for about 31 years or so. And added to that, I was a Corps volunteer in Central America, so federal service. I have been a Metro Access user for about 30 years. When I worked for the government, I used the bus and the rail quite a bit. Since then, because of some additional mobility issues, I mainly use Metro Access too at this point, but I'm excited about a new gadget called a Glide, which I won't take a lot of time to talk about, which may give me some more independence and maybe can start using some more of the various kinds of transportation that are available to us in this area. And looking forward to how everything's working together. And this is, I'm really excited and thank Anu and all the people that worked with her to accept my application.
Thank you, Sue. It's great to have you. It's great to have you aboard. Sarah, thank you so much for stepping up and doing this. I guess go around and we can do introductions just briefly from the committee. Name, where you're from. I think would be good. My name's Pat Sheehan. I'm the chair of the AAC committee, and I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Great. Ms. Rush, would you like to go next since you're the vice chair? Ms. Rush, I believe you would need to unmute yourself. Okay, she may be having some technical difficulty. Okay, so I will just go through the screen. And Andrew, I see you, so thank you for joining us. Let's wrap up this section and we can start your section. Is that hopefully timing will be okay for that? Okay, perfect. Great. So I'm seeing Dr. Posner next. So Dr. Posner, would you do a brief intro for yourself and then we can go around robin?
You're muted.
Okay.
I'm
There you go.
unmuted
Yes.
now. And so I'll start out for the sighted people, and they can actually take a look at the old man. I'll be 80 years old next week. And so I am tall, slender, and I'm growing a beard in case I have to evacuate the country after the election. And hopefully everybody will vote correctly and I will be able to stay in the country. I am a semi-retired professor. I'm currently working at the University of Florida as an adjunct in cardiology, physiology, and of course, aging. And currently on the NIH advisory panel for aging. So I keep my finger in because after 24 years of living in Arlington, Virginia, in this century, I was very active with transportation and did serve for a period of time on the AAC and was lucky enough to be offered emeritus status, which is why I'm here tonight. So hopefully I didn't occupy too much time, but it's great to see the new people that are on board and the new talent that are coming take over the committee and keep it safe and accessible in the DMV district, Maryland and Virginia. So I think I have used my multiple minutes as a babbling old geezer.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. I see Ms. Rush has rejoined. Ms. Rush, would you like to go ahead and take a moment to introduce yourself to the new members?
Yes, I pressed the wrong button and got disconnected. I'm so
No,
sorry.
no problem.
I'm vice chair of the AAC committee. I am totally blind. And I've been riding since riding Metro Access for 24 years. I am the vice chair of the Metro Access subcommittee. And vice chair of the National Federation for the Blind, the Slago Creek chapter. And I was a legal secretary for 42 years. And welcome aboard. That's all I know about me.
Thank you, Ms. Rush.
Thank you.
And if I could just ask Tina to make a quick introduction, and then we'll go through Sandy, Tino, Steve, and Sandy, and then we'll go to Paul Semaphore, doing the leadership first. So, Tina, go ahead.
Welcome to the Accessibility Advisory Bill, the emeritus member, mentioned that he just turned 80. And at the end of, well, next month, I turn 89. I've been the chair of the Bus Rail Subcommittee now for, I guess, 6 or 7 years. I have studied in Germany, and if I recall, Rat means advice or counsel. I loved my year in Germany.
You are exactly right. Thank you.
You're quite well. I was at the University of Munich for a year. They were in South America. I was a volunteer in Peru when John Kennedy was still in the White House. I've also worked in matters related to housing, and in New York in matters related to planning, especially in planning in low-income neighborhoods. Again, welcome to you both, and look forward to working with you through my 90th year and maybe beyond.
Thank you. Steve, please go ahead. Unmute yourself.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
So hi, Steve Kappen, and I've been on the committee for some years at this point. I'm a Caucasian with still reasonably black hair, but that's changing. I'm a vice chair of the bus rail subcommittee. I ride a lot of buses. I've ridden buses all my life. I probably ride 10 bus routes that WMATA has in DC every week. And in my spare time, my hobby is writing books. And I've written about 15 books to date, including books on Europe by bus and Australia by bus. And Carnival in Rio, my latest, is coming out at the end of the week. So that's kind of what I do. Like Tino, a Peace Corps volunteer, former Peace Corps volunteer, except he was a pioneer in the 60s, and I was a latecomer in the 1990s, and there we are. So it's great to be on the committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Sandy, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sandy Newzel, Caucasian senior, and I actually know both Sue Bowmaster and Sarah Rott, although I have not met Sarah in person, I don't think. Anyway, I also am legally blind from birth. I worked for the federal government for 32 years as a geologist. And after retirement, I started reaching out to do volunteer work in the low vision and blind community, which is how I eventually wound up on the AAC committee and have the position of second vice chair for bus and rail. And my passion is getting signage right for people with low vision. So welcome aboard, Sue and Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Marcy Goldstein, please go ahead, unmute yourself. Actually, you are unmuted. So if you would do your introduction.
I am Marcy Goldstein. I'm retired. I've worked for consulting companies and independent living. My last job was organizing events at CESI. And I've been involved in independent living for about 45 years.
Thank you, Marcy. And I apologize. I meant to go to Paul Semelford, and I could not locate him on my screen. Now I see Paul. Paul, please go ahead. And I thought maybe you got disconnected and I couldn't locate
you.
Okay, and after Paul, if Tuan, you would unmute yourselves and be ready. Paul, please go ahead.
I'm Paul Semelfort. I am the chairman, the Metro Access Subcommittee chairperson. I've been on the AAC for probably good Lord, 15 years. And I am a middle-aged African-American male that's about to turn 50 next year, believe it or not. I am by trade a special education teacher in Prince George's County. For now, this is my 26th year of teaching in a virtual program. And also, I'm really glad to work with advocating for Metro Access customers for the things that they need, and working with the management staff and the call center and the AAC to see the changes that Metro Access is going through. And I look forward to working with you, since you have both users, on some of the things that we work to month, working with management and the call center to make things a better quality experience for all customers, writing and calling into the call center.
Great, thank you, Paul. Tuan, if he's connected. Okay, perhaps we can come back to him if he gets connected again. So we will next go to Thomas. Thomas Mangrum, go ahead. Thomas, you need to unmute yourself.
Yeah.
And if you just want to introduce yourself.
Okay. This is Thomas Mangrum. I'm glad to be a part of this committee, and I serve on very other different committees for transportation, and I sit as chair of Project Action. That's a coalition group for people with disabilities. We got two of everything, two presidents and two vice presidents. I won the presidents. So I'm glad to be on this committee and serving with y'all. And you know, I would do whatever I can to help, what have you, because I show up for different things when you testing out equipment or whatnot. I do my very best to be there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Next is Philippa. Go ahead, Philippa.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Sue and Sarah. You're getting onto a really good committee, and we push and try to get things done, and it may take us a few years, but we get it done. I am a low vision person living in the District of Columbia. My primary concern and issue was signage, particularly at some of the metro stations, such as L'Enfant Plaza. And it took years of me begging, pleading, cajoling, whatever I could do to get the station ahead signs back on in that station, and it finally did happen, thank God. I was going to say, Philip, you can grow that mustache or beard if you want to, because it makes you look professorial, but don't worry, you're not going to have to go anywhere. So so everybody, if you haven't already, vote. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, that's about it. I served on the Mayor's Committee for Persons with Disabilities prior to joining this committee. I think that has since been disbanded, but that was how I became introduced to this committee. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Philippa. Mm-hmm. Donnie's Henry. Donnie's, go ahead, please. You need to.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excuse me. My name is Darnice Henry Bush. I'm a Black senior citizen. I have mobility issues. I came to this committee about 7 or 8 years ago, but I've been a paratransit rider before the inception and worked to establish paratransit in the District of Columbia. I'm a native Washingtonian, so I know pretty much all the history of the paratransit, accessibility issues and all of that. I retired after 43 years with Transportation Services Administration and Disability Services. And right now I act as, excuse me, executive director to statewide independent living council that is for people with disabilities. And I'm welcome aboard. And this is a great committee, and we actually do get things done because we stay on the issue for years if we have to, but it gets done.
All right, thank you, Donnie. Next is Philip Weintraub. Philip, go ahead.
I'm Phil Weintraub, a Caucasian gentleman who with a mild autism that lives in Rockville, Maryland. Right now I work as an office coordinator, and I also do audio visio for the Universal Service Administrative Company in DC. I also serve on the board of directors of MECHOME, which is where I get served, where I receive services. And I also, as well as on the steering committee for the Accessible Transportation Resource Center, which also working with getting a broad range of transportation accessible. And I'm hope and hopefully I've to get hopefully I, as I'm on the been on this committee, like I think this is like my second year, third year get on this committee, and I'm hopefully trying to work with hopefully get make it more comfortable for people. Because after I've been riding Metro Rail almost all my life, so I just want to hopefully make it more comfortable for people with autism to ride on it. And I also was, and I'm also trying to hopefully, so hopefully if I that I want hopefully to hopefully make me feel like I want to stay in this country is that you guys hopefully all of you guys been working diligently to get the vote out, and as well as cast and vote as well as going and casting your ballots as well.
Okay, thank you, Philip.
And welcome Sue and Sarah to the committee.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Next is Vanessa Coles, followed by Doris Ray. So, Vanessa, unmute yourself and go ahead and
Audio now unmuted. Zoom
okay.
workplace.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Vanessa Coles. I'm a middle-aged African American woman. I represent Prince George's County. I was a consumer and was invited because of my opinions, very opinionated, to join and hopefully make a difference in my community. I also serve as the transportation informant for National Harbor Chapter of National Federation of the Blind. I make sure I provide them the information to those that don't attend the meeting, so I make sure they know what's going on, as well as one of the ministries I'm on, I3S. Also, I make sure that they get the information, as well as IIB. So I represent the consumers. And I think I've been here now about 4 years, and I enjoy what the AAC is doing and the progress that it's making and the changes and all the great things that are happening for the consumers. So welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you, Vanessa. Doris, go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Doris Ray, and I am one of the two representatives from the Transportation Planning Board at the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Access for All Committee, serving on the AAC. I live in at the border between Arlington and Falls Church in Fairfax County, so I'm in the Mason District of Fairfax County. I work at Independence Center of Northern Virginia as director of advocacy and work helping people with disabilities on an individual basis with consumer issues and complaints regarding disability services and regarding ADA enforcement. In Northern Virginia, and also I'm a liaison to local governments in the Northern Virginia region, and also provide systems advocacy at both the local and state and regional levels, serving on various boards and commissions and working with consumers on issues relating to ADA. That's my primary interest in serving on AAC is to provide knowledge, technical assistance, and I am a lifelong resident of the Washington metropolitan area, native Washingtonian, and also lived and went to school in Montgomery, PG counties, and have lived the bulk of my working life here in Northern Virginia. I welcome both of you.
Great. Thank you, Doris. Chair Sheehan, that concludes the list of all the members who are connected today. Thus, we can conclude our introduction session. Welcome, Susan and Sarah. We're looking forward to working with you both. Chair Sheehan, Andrea Crabb she had connected early on when we started our introduction. So she has been patiently waiting. And Andrea, thank you for your patience and for joining. And it sort of worked out because you also got to hear about all the members here at the AAC. So welcome. I'm not able to hear you, Andrea. And you're not on mute either, so.
How about now?
Yes, that works.
Okay. Just click on the right thing. So I'm Andrea Crabb. I'm the new Senior Vice President for Facilities here at the Metro. It's lovely, lovely to meet all of you. I'm very impressed by the backgrounds and the diversity of everyone here. Very humble. A little bit about me, since everyone else shared, is I'm a Maryland girl. I was born in Bethesda, grew up. I'm a Washingtonian, also diverse. So, I've worked in Virginia. I've worked in D.C. I've definitely experienced everything there is in the area. I like to say my formative years, I worked for the federal government. So I was very pleased to hear a bunch of federal retirees here near and dear to my heart. And from there, I did a fond adventure to Walt Disney World. I guess I should mention, I'm a mechanical engineer by trade. So I went to the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So I said, definitely a Maryland girl. And I had the pleasure of working for Worldwide Safety and Accessibility while I was at Walt Disney World. And I do consider them the gold standard when it comes to accessibility. So I have learned from some of the best. So I can't wait to bring some of those practices here to Metro. And then before I came to Metro, I was at the University of Maryland College Park for the Terps. So I've done a little bit of academic work with a lot of our professor colleagues here today. I've been here at Metro for 4 whole months. So I'm still learning, and I'm very excited to meet all of you. I hear that low vision signage is definitely, I've heard that from a number of people, and you'll be happy to know before this meeting, I reached out to, I'm in charge of architecture, mechanical engineering, all of the maintenance, which includes elevators and escalators here at Metro. As I said, what are some of the things going on? And they are definitely looking at pilots and redoing the signage across the Metro, with keeping in mind low vision, braille, wayfinding, everything that we're looking into that I know that this wonderful group will be part of to take a look at what we're doing and point us in the right direction. So I'm very excited to be here, and I look forward to working with all of you in the future.
Chair Sheehan? Chair, you need to unmute yourself. And while we are waiting for him to get unmuted, if any other AAC members have any questions or comments for Andrea, please let us know now.
This is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. Go ahead.
Welcome, Andrea. And Andrea, I hope I have a chance to meet you in person if you will be at the new Brailing sign site visit. Perhaps next Tuesday?
I'm hoping to, yes.
Okay.
That was amazing. I get to see, just to share with you, how they do Braille signs before. It's amazing. They were putting every little sphere in by hand. Every
Wow.
single one of them, and they had to make sure they were within standards. And they show me the little tool. I'm sure they'll show it to you. So I was very excited to hear that we were getting this automated so we can make signs better and faster.
Excellent.
Yeah, we have that scheduled for next Tuesday. So
yeah, you'll enjoy it. The signage team is a wonderful group, and they will very much like enjoy meeting all of you if you can make it.
Thank you. And I see Dr. Posner has raised his hand. Dr. Posner, go ahead.
Yes, Andrea, welcome on board. And let me direct you towards Denise Rush, who has been worried about restrooms for a long time in the system and how to find them. And clearly, you're the person in charge. So I suggest that you meet with Ms. Rush. Thank you.
Okay. Any other members of the AAC? I believe Chair Sheehan might be having some trouble unmuting himself.
So I knew was
whoever's the chair can unmute him for him, I think.
I can only ask him to unmute himself.
Oh.
Sandy, sorry, you were saying?
So one of the, I'm not sure if that was all Andrea had to say, but one of the things we skipped was Doris Ray, and I can't remember
yes.
who speaking about a topic.
Debbie Fisher, but she's not here today. So before we go to that, I believe, well, Andrea, before we move on, welcome and thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us today. It's really nice meeting you. And the committee appreciates whenever we have any guest speakers, and it's all, we try to have our senior executive leadership come and meet with the AAC so that they know who's who. So thank you. And I'm sure we'll be looking for working for, you know, together on some something or the other in the future as well.
Yeah, definitely. And don't hesitate if you have questions or want to learn more about some of the things we have going on. I'd be more than glad to have the team come and brief about some of the initiatives that we have and help prioritize and put our resources to where you need them most.
Sure. Well, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. It's so nice to meet you all.
Likewise. Okay. So we because it's 6:57, what we will do is we will go before we go to Doris's presentation to ensure that we get any public comments in. We will begin with public comments. And I know Janice Samuel had raised her hand. So Janice, if you would unmute yourself to make your public comments. And when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. So please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you, Anu. My comment had to do with timelines for the representative who was speaking about the Better Bus network. And I wanted to know if he could anticipate when we might know anything about the possible expansion of the Better Bus network within Prince George's County.
Okay. And Janice, I'm actually happy to share that at next week's bus and rail subcommittee meeting, we will have a presentation on the on an update about the Better Bus network. So please, you know, ask your questions or submit your questions to me earlier before the meeting if you can, so that we can share those with you, with them, and get you the responses.
Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. And then the next person we had was somebody on the name had a lot of numbers starting from 3464. It was a long series of phone numbers. So if you would go ahead and unmute yourself and make your comments, that would be great.
Yes, my name is Carol Mills. I'm a Metro Access client. I've been with Metro Access with the since probably grandfathered in. I have recently just wanted to know why the system has been running 30, 45 minutes outside of my window. It's changed from the prior company that was involved. I'm not sure. Just this he say, she say. So I was just wondering where was the defect and why the trips have been running extremely like 30, 45 minutes late. Thank you.
Well, I knew I'll jump in. This is Christian Blake, black male. When I first came to Metro Access, had a lot of hair, and now I have none. But no, it's been a labor of love. Ms. Mills, as you know, you call me, and I do work with you and other customers individually. We have been going through a transition. I will say every one of your trips, but I know that any one trip is a bad trip for all of our customers. We are going through a transition in terms of introducing a new company, although they've been here for a while, so it's not necessarily a new company, but they're providing the entirety of the service. At the same time, we've introduced several more alternative services. So while we're bringing on those new services, we've got to keep the Metro Access level up to where we want it to be, but that requires having the call center go through a whole new form of scheduling and monitoring of the service. One example, and again, this is not going to make up for any of your late trips lately, but one of the things that's happened, and we've crossed a major milestone, I was going to save it for the AAC meeting, but if you all recall when I first arrived, you had many different complaints, but one of the biggest ones was about the Metro Access fare. And Vice Chair Smedberg mentioned about how we now have a flat fare. It was a lowered fare. It went back up 50 cents a bit. But in the month of October, excuse me, September, we just finished October. The month of September, this was the first time since probably when Metro Access was first begun, as I heard some of the history tonight from Ms. Bush and others. We had more trips on Abilities Ride in the month of September than we had actually on Metro Access. That means over half the trips that customers called about were provided by a vehicle that wasn't branded as Metro Access. And of course, what that also meant is that more than half the trips requested by customers for Metro Access were absolutely free of charge. More than half. And we're trying to grow that. But when you do that, I've put a lot of challenge on myself as well as the team, though, in that call center. They're having to adapt to a whole new world where the dominant service now is actually the alternatives and abilities ride and not necessarily Metro Access. But Metro Access is the federally required paratransit service. So you've all always heard me say it's our Social Security. We have to protect it and we have to make it right. And we had a long run of quality service. We're getting back to that as well. I just ask for a little more patience as we work with the teams, both the service provider and the call center, on adopting themselves to this whole new paradigm in which something I know you all wouldn't have believed if when I first got here, but I told y'all we can do it, which is now providing over half the trips free of charge, but it takes a lot of just new way of thinking and doing work. And it's been a challenge, and we're going to overcome it, and we're going to do it real soon. But I just ask you, Ms. Mills and others, continue to call me. When something's going wrong, I will try to help you get to somebody or get somebody to you to help address the issues that are happening at that moment.
Appreciate that, and that has been I have been receiving feedback. I really appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake. If any other members of the public have any questions or comments, you can unmute yourself. Steve, I see you raised your hand, and then Sarah. So go ahead.
Thank you. This is a public comment. I think there's been a breakdown in the system relating to customers being able to make comments and getting feedback, knowing that the comments are being considered by Metro. Two situations. The system currently states that if you want feedback or you want subsequent contact, it will be made within 5 days after you submit a comment to customer service, either online or by phone. I found in two situations, I've gotten nothing back, and one related to a temporary curtailment of bus service. This is the D6 bus that serves both Sibley Hospital and Georgetown University and is taken by a good number of seniors. Some construction actually eliminated a bus stop, but there's another stop that it's using a block away, but the D6 isn't stopping there. I wrote 10 days ago now to customer service with this suggestion. I didn't get feedback, so I rewrote, and it's been 5 days now. Supposedly, the 5 days in which I should be getting a response, and I haven't. So I just like somebody to take a look at the system and make sure that customers are in fact getting the response that they deserve when they choose to write or call to Metro about issues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Sarah?
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up an incident sort of as a member of the public. Mm-hmm. As I said, both of my kids are power wheelchair users, and one of them was riding the Metro to come home actually on Halloween and had a very scary incident. I don't know if anybody else knew anything about this, but on a train heading into Metro Center around like maybe 5:30 p.m. or so, there was some sort of an alarm pulled or something triggered, and it caused a stampede throughout the cars. So there's streams of people coming by and forced my daughter back. And it's one of the older trains where there's not a special area for wheelchairs. And she was wedged in, stuck, couldn't move. There was people like fleeing, screaming, leaving the train, and she couldn't move, couldn't do anything. They actually almost broke her wheelchair. They broke the costume that she had made off of it. But mostly she was just, you know, waiting for something really bad to happen, thinking that, you know, there was a shooter or something on a car and it was coming in. She couldn't go anywhere because she was trapped by the stampede of other people. Anyway, it turned out to be nothing, I guess, a false alarm. And somebody did come back in eventually and help her. But she had no help from any official person from Metro and no way to call for help. And I don't even know what she's supposed to do in that sort of an incident. So that was it.
Okay. And I just want to say that Steve and Sarah, thank you for sharing your feedback. Sarah, I will be in touch with you sometime this week to get a little bit more specific information and
okay.
Hopefully share some information that should be helpful for, you know, should it's needed, if it's needed. So. Yeah, it's sorry that your daughter had that experience, but thank you for bringing it up. Okay, Vanessa, I see your hand is up. Hello. Go ahead.
Audio now unmuted.
Yes, hi, this is Vanessa again. And I say to the consumer earlier too, I'm sorry that happened to your daughter. I just wanted to let Mr. Blake know that I do see the wheels turning. As far as the reservation is, in fact, I did call in and give kudos to a couple of the people there are getting it. And I guess it's just a weaning process trying to get the right crew. So I just wanted to give you kudos and let you know that the wheels are turning. Thank you.
All desk, Zoom work alert.
Thank you, Vanessa. And Mr. Blake, actually, I would like to read out a chat message. Joe Godwin has written, Mr. Blake, thanks for your support and assistance. So I just wanted to read that out for the record as well. Okay, seems like we do not have any additional hands up at this point. Chair Sheehan, if you're able to unmute yourself.
And Anu, I wanted to know if I can go with my report first, only because I may have to be off screen soon.
Your
Multiple things at once.
before okay, I do see him connected. I believe he might be having some trouble unmuting himself. Ms. Rush, we do have 20 minutes and we still have to get a report from Doris Ray at this point and then go through the two reports, Metro Access and Bus and Rail Subcommittee report. Would you like Doris to go ahead and take 5 minutes to give her report for her pre for the
Yes.
presentation? Okay.
Yes,
Doris?
yes. Hi, this is Doris, and so I'm giving the report from the Access for All Committee of the Transportation Planning Board, which is located at the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. And since this is our first report, I will say just in summary that the Access for All Committee advises the Transportation Planning Board on issues of concern to the disability community throughout the Metropolitan Washington area and is provided information about, and we provide input to the priorities for the spending of federal money on transportation and highway projects. So the money is coming from U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Transit Administration, and Highway Administration. And so the Transportation Planning Board sets priorities, short-term priorities, and long-term priorities, even looking out 10 years or more. So at the most recent meeting, which was September 5, my co-representative of the Access for All Committee on the AAC presented, Debbie Fisher from Maryland, from Montgomery County, and we agreed on a written report that we submitted on topics that have been high priority for the AAC, so mostly based on our agendas and our meetings minutes, and stressed concerns in the current budget environment that the needs of persons with disabilities, and particularly people who are using Metro Access, need to be considered, and we need this that we need the support of the Transportation Planning Board and the AHFA to advance our concern for full funding of Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access in the coming year or so as the DMV moves group is meeting it, and Debbie presented that report because I wasn't able to be at that meeting because I was obligated prior to the meeting to do an outreach event at a high school here in Fairfax County, Springfield, in Springfield, so John Lewis High School.
So I didn't actually get to see the report nor hear the feedback as of yet. But according to what I heard from Debbie, it was our report was received very well, and the next meeting of the Access for All Committee will be in December. So if this AAC has issues, we want them. We will be glad to, and we can discuss more about what they're looking forward to in the next year.
Okay. Thank you, Doris.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. It's 7:15. If you would like, we can go to Paul Semelford for his report.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Paul, if you would go ahead and give your report.
Sure. This is Paul Semelford, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair, and Denise will, of course, help me out if I missed anything. Last month, we had our engaging talk, as we have with Metro Access Management, about some of the call center issues, and like as some of the committee members have echoed, they were in the process of changing from one provider to another over the summer as of July 1st to TransDev managing the call center. And there has been some challenges with staffing and other things, but I believe from what some of us are saying, there is small and little positive headways being made between reservations, as we heard from Vanessa and I've spoken to, and with the Where's My Ride, is there a lot of improvement that still needs to go? And we've been giving, of course, Mr. Blake and his team the gracious patience while he works through to get us staff that works with customers to so they have the best customer experience. That is still ongoing. We appreciate for having the ongoing dialogue with the management team and the call center, honest and frank with us about the situation and how we're working through it. And we look forward to partnering with them. Like I said, there is some quality in terms of staff. Things working a little bit better each day. It's still a long ways to go. There's still some operational things to get through, but I think we're going to get there, as Mr. Blake says. On the other piece, we got a report in terms of Metro scoreboard, in terms of Metro Access statistics, in terms of the number of shared rides, how customers can access that information online, in terms of safety incidents and updates, how that is beginning to be on the decrease on those, decrease on the safety incidents and the types and some of the things they've been implementing, like the seat to door with customers and ensure their safety for Metro Access customers, and some of the other stats that customers can find online that was discussed last month. And we also talked about abilities rides and possibly to help with the call center looking forward to the future of using for customers who are able to some aspects of TIM to help use technology to bridge some of the gaps that we are still facing. Denise, did I not cover anything? Ms. Rush, did I miss?
I'm afraid to touch my phone because I keep disconnecting myself. I'm not used to this new phone, but
I was talking about the call center in terms of some of the issues we were still dealing with and how management has been forthright and open and some of the initiatives they've been doing. Oh, we also discussed the new My Transit app and how some of us are beta testing it and our feedback. That was another major piece that was covered during the meeting. And as I stated, I'm very optimistic that it's looking promising. It still, I said, gave some.
OK. Okay, did we talk
to it,
about the
what's
the
testing phase? Go ahead.
Did you talk about the new vehicle?
I know we also had talked about there was a new vehicle where it can be with two wheelchairs, and then some of the concerns of committee members in terms of trying to find to add, I guess, some kind of ramp or balance where something to hold on to feel stable to get safely into the vehicle. I know that was a major issue of concern for those who tested.
And we have not seen how we will be strapped in the wheelchairs. That's very important.
All right, and that's to be noted, and hopefully management will work with maybe allowing us to have opportunity to work,
And that's all the main thing I wanted to know about. Yes.
So those are some of the big rocks for next month. We are going to get a revisit about some of the hopefully functions that Tim can do to help with alleviate some of the call centers, you know, busiest times. And for those who want to take advantage of it, that will help with booking trips and other things. And also I'll be probably putting back our wonderful chat with call center management again and getting an update on the agenda. And I see there's also discussion about updates from mobility rights providers and the forecast for that. Any questions? All right, if hearing none, I will give this back to Pat for Steve and Bus Rail Subcommittee.
Great. Am I on?
Yes, we can hear you.
Wonderful. Well, finally. Thank you so much. I'm not liking this new Zoom, but I'll get updated before the next meeting.
Yeah, sorry, you're having trouble.
Yeah, I keep getting bounced out, as Denise was saying. I guess we're at Bus Rail. Steve,
yes,
you're up?
Yeah.
Steve and Tino?
Tino?
Yeah.
Yes. As I summarized it at our last meeting, we talked about Montgomery County bus stops. Matt Johnson has been at least twice before. The third generation of bus islands has not been completed, but he discussed and showed what they would be like. We also talked about the Prince George's County bus service. Our meeting with the Senator Augustin and the Chief of Staff of Delegate Jazz Lewis. He then tried to contact the chief person involved with the bus service in Prince George's. And I gather that we will be talking with them at a meeting in the near future. We also talked about the WayMap app testing update. Both Denise and I, maybe 3 years ago, went to a Virginia stop when they demonstrated an early version of the WayMap app. But at the last meeting, Denise mentioned how it doesn't work for wheelchairs. Okay, that's a report of what we discussed, but now what do we do about the fact that apparently it doesn't work for wheelchairs? I don't know if we have to put it on another agenda, but we can't just leave it at that. Some of us went to this newest demonstration, and I was surprised and disappointed when Denise said it doesn't work for wheelchairs. What do we do now? Anyway, that's my report of the record of the last meeting. And if there's anyone who has any additions they want to put in.
Yeah, I can jump on the that point on the Waymap. Yeah, you're right, Tino. Right now, currently, the Waymap is set up just for walk individuals that can walk. They are working on the accessibility to wheelchairs. Since it's based on a person's gait and how they walk, that's how the software right now is currently set up. So that transferring it to something that rolls as like a wheelchair is a different algorithm. And they're aware of that. They tried a couple of different things. They didn't work, but they have some new engineers on board. And that's the next thing they're going to be looking at, is going to be that type of technology and how they can measure that type of information going forward to the Waymap system. I'll also just say that briefly on the Waymap system, that system has been completed and deployed, but the Waymap individuals, the individuals that I worked with, need to work on final updates, training, outreach, and then getting sign off from WMATA on the system as it's installed in at WMATA. My impression for someone who's visually impaired and able to, you know, it's mobile, is that the system was a lot more accurate 3 years later than when you looked at it as it was in the beginning. So I think it's a good system, and we'll see where it falls in place, particularly when we're looking at DMV moves, and part of it is, you know, is signage, and part of it is this type of new technology to get around the system.
Is there a next step that we can
it's very interesting. There's a couple of pieces of technology out there. There's another system that I think Subomaster might have talked about, something called Glide, which actually deals with mobility issues, and they're looking at partnering with the Waymap system to do a Glide type technology in the metro system. So there's a lot of things going on between the Waymap mobile system and these other systems that work on wheels, basically. So they don't have anything yet. They don't have any system that they can roll out, but it is something that they're working on.
My question is, what do we do in the meanwhile? Do we just wait to hear from them again?
Well, I think it would be good to have them come back. I would give them a couple of months to see what their, you know, if what improvements they made in the system. Certainly we have the information to be able to talk to Tom Pei and others who will be looking at the system as it gets deployed in here. And so we can certainly have them back to the bus rail committee. And I'll just briefly say, you know, I really was impressed on the Prince George's County piece that Don Drummer was here tonight to give us his commitment that he wants to look at increasing better transportation within Prince George's County. So, and I don't know what the state of the bus rail agenda is, but I think we might have blown it up. With Don wanting to come to the bus rail committee with individuals next week. So I hope that we can look at the Prince George's County project as an agenda on that item.
Yeah.
Good. That's great, Tino. Yeah.
And we need to figure out how it's going to dovetail with the bus rail network redesign project.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. All of that together, I think that's exactly the direction we want to move. Yes.
Do we have somebody from the redesign project come and meet with us, or wait till we've heard from Prince George's again?
My advice would be to wait to see what Don comes up on Prince George's, and then we can move forward with the other over the next couple of months. But I think that that's going to be something that this committee wants to move on. And certainly we've been trying to make efforts over that in that area for the last 15 years. So I think if we can, you know, help move that into a good position where it can be an effective part of the region, I think that would be great. DMV Moves would also appreciate progress in that area, but taking a look at what is in the transit vision report going forward and how that works with what they're going to be reporting over the next couple of weeks, I think will be important. And I know we're at 7:30, Anu.
Yes, and I just want to state that I believe Mr. Drummer is still connected with us. Really appreciate him spending the time and, you know, listening to the discussions. It's really appreciate that, because I know that everybody's schedules get really tight. But I just want to remind that next week our bus and rail subcommittee meeting is on Tuesday, because Monday is a holiday, being Veterans Day being observed that day. So we will meet on Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. If any members of the public have any public comments, you can email them at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And that concludes my announcement. Thank you.
Thank you. And we are at 7:30. So yeah, appreciate 7:31. I appreciate everyone attendance. Excellent meeting. Thank you all. Anu, thank you for covering me while I was trying to get back on Zoom. Appreciate it. Good night, all.
Good night.
Hey.
Bye-bye, everyone. I believe that she will win. I believe that she.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.